Welcome to the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast. My name is Don Bishop, and I write as T.S. Pedramon. Now, before we really get into the episode, I want to talk about time frames. As you listen to this episode, you'll hear that when I recorded this, I knew that my publication timeline for my novel Guardian, book two of the Nightshade Unicorn Saga, I knew that that date was going to be in flux. I knew that I was behind. And indeed, as I am recording this intro, the original intended publication date has passed. Today is September 6th as I record this, but the interview was recorded in July of this year. And I didn't know what those timelines would be. I have now resettled on a publication date of October 25th. And it is currently available for pre-order on the Kindle store. If you want to pre-order it, then it'll be automatically downloaded to your Kindle device on October 25th. By the way, if you maybe want to beta read the non-final, not ready for publication version and give me feedback in order to make it as strong as possible, send me an email at author@thorn.link and tell me you're volunteering for the beta reader group. And you don't have to have already read book one, Forerunner. I'll share that with you. But yeah, I need more beta readers. I do have a sign up page for that. Actually, you don't even have to email me. Just go to I'll throw the link in the show notes here. Yeah, I have a sign up, and you can join that list, that group, and yeah. Alternatively, if you would like to jump on the opportunity, this comes not as soon as the beta reader opportunity, but I am looking for ARC readers. ARC is Advanced Reader Copy, and that represents copies of the book which I am giving away for free while I invite reviews. Leaving a review is not mandatory. In fact, if I want to sell the book on Amazon, which I do, it is against their policies for me to require a review. But that is my motivation for giving it away for free. Yet, you can take advantage of the opportunity and read it and go on your merry way. But yeah, so I'm going to drop three links concerning this into the show notes. One is, if you want to support me, if you want to help me out as a beta reader, then there will be a sign up link for that. If you want to help me out as an ARC reader, there will be a sign up link for that. I don't think I explained that well enough. So the thing is with ARC readers, you've gone shopping online and you encounter a product and you don't know if you should spend your well-earned money on it. And so you look at the reviews and you look at the ratings, and if there's a product that sounds pretty good but it has zero reviews, you're less inclined to purchase it. So just by reading the book and leaving an honest review, you help other readers find the book and accept that it's worth their time. So that's my incentive for giving away copies of the book ahead of launch. So yeah, the way that you can read it the earliest is via being a beta reader, and I'm asking for feedback. You read it for feedback, and you'll see the time frame that I want to do that on the sign-up page. I'm looking to send out the beta reader copies on September 24th, and I'm doing a fast turnaround. I'm looking to send out the ARC readers copies, and this is electronic. It's all ebooks. I'm looking to send those out on October 15th, and then the book goes live for sale on October 25th. Now, if you really want to support me, and you don't mind spending $2, because that's the that is the price that I have set for the pre-order, and this way you can read the book for cheap. And it is the final version, And the pre-order helps me because the more people who pre-order it, then the day that it is launched, it's all Amazon's algorithms, right? When they see how many copies are selling, and so all the pre-orders get credited to the book on that launch day, and it helps it rank higher in the Kindle store, and that puts it in front of more people's eyes. So yeah, three ways to help. You pick your poison: beta reader, ARC reader, or, you know, buy it for $2, and that does give me a small amount of money directly, but it also helps more customers find my book. Okay, now, that said, I've explained the timelines that I did not know at the time of recording this episode, and I will get out of your hair and enjoy the interview. Welcome to the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast. Today, I am here with fantasy cartographer and author of the upcoming fantasy novel Guardian. Wait, that's me. What? No, so this is Kate Korsak, who coincidentally has an upcoming novel with the same title, Guardian.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll just kind of get right into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been writing since I was like in elementary school. So publishing a book was kind of something I always knew I was going to do growing up. And it's not until recently I've actually been able to make that happen. So you and I were actually talking separately earlier. I have a book out. I don't market it very hard. Mm-hmm. So Guardian's my second. It's not part of Guardian's the first of a series. So my first book is not part of a series at all. Guardian is, okay. It's sort of the book of like, I say the book of my dreams. It's the one that like, I wrote it as the book that I wanted to read. So I adore it. I think it's great. But it's just that book that like I always wanted, and I was an avid reader, and I was like, you know what? Let me just write the book that I really want to read. And so that's Guardian.
Cool. Yeah. And so you're the first one you wrote, what's that called?
That is called The Curse of Rago. It is a young adult standalone. Sort of a, I say like lighthearted, still like in the epic fantasy realm. But it doesn't really go into a lot of lore or anything like that. It's very lighthearted, about two princes that our rivals and ended up kind of ganging up to like save each other's kingdom sort of thing. It was fun, and it was my first. So it was a lot of learning. Publishing was a learning experience. And so all of that kind of taught me what to do for Guardian now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's interesting. Cause you went through the paces and, mm-hmm. and, kind of had your starter novel, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
I hope that Forerunner isn't. I hope it's not full of flaws. You know, the feedback that I get is good. Mm-hmm. But like you, I haven't really dived into the marketing so hard, and mm-hmm. so the feedback that I get is few.
Yeah,
I have few reviews for Forerunner.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a lot of people, because I took part in a recent giveaway, mm-hmm. and lots of people downloaded my book, and I have no way of knowing how many of them actually read it.
Yeah,
but. So maybe a lot of people are trying it out and they're not liking it, and they're just not reviewing, or yeah. maybe few people are reading it. I don't really know that yet.
Yeah. But I always get so surprised when I see someone has like read and reviewed The Curse of Rago. Cause I'm like, where did you find this? Like, I don't talk about it. It's, mm-hmm. it was very much, I think I still enjoy the story, and I think there's definitely a market for it, but it's not the market that I'm currently marketing to. So I'm like, yeah. who are you? How did you find this? Thank you. Thanks for reading. Yeah.
Have you done any signings or like any events to sell your book?
Yeah, the only like true signing that I've done was Books, Gowns, and Crowns in Tampa, Florida. I believe it was last May, so 2023. That was a lot of fun. It was difficult for me to sell because it was a lot of like romanticy. And I just don't write that genre. I have a lot of friends who do. And they write incredible books. That's just not like my typical genre. And The Curse of Rago especially has absolutely no romance, like none at all. So it was very difficult to sell that book there. But it was still a lot of fun. I did sell several copies. I got to meet people. I got to talk to people. It was a fantasy ball and stuff afterwards. So I made a lot of good author friends during that time. And it was, once again, it was an experience I'd never had before. So I would do it again.
Cool. Yeah. I had a thought. What was it? So it's like when somebody has read it, you're like, where did you find it?
Yeah.
Funny story. So I asked if you'd done any events because I've been to libraries in my area and sold and signed books there, and I've done a couple of other events. Anyway, so about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I took my kids to the local ice cream trailer. Like they have soft serve ice cream, and it's just a trailer. It's always parked in the same spot, and it's a giant ice cream cone. As I was like standing there and waiting for my turn to order, I was thinking about, they've got space there. Like, I wonder if they'd let me put a poster. And so I talked to the girl who was running it, and I said, yeah, so I'm a local author. I wrote a book specifically, and I held up a copy of this book. And she's like, oh my gosh, I love that book. I've read it. I'm like, what? Oh,
that's so cool.
Yeah, so she had seen me at one of the libraries. Anyway, I needed to talk to her manager, and I haven't done that yet. So, no poster on the
no poster yet. I know my husband and I have looked into getting like the what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, like banners like on the road or like in malls or something. They're just so expensive. And I'm like, I don't know how much money I'd actually get out of that. Like, is it worth $1,000 for a few days? Probably not.
Well, and if I had if I were smart and I had time, I would take, I would print out a poster, boom, and put it there like it's behind me during these podcasts. Or I'd take my map. So I printed out the map that's included in book one. It needs more fleshing out. And so that was part of why I printed it out. So I could sit down and figure out what's going to happen in book two. And so it's big, you know, like this is the top half of it.
Oh, I love it.
I'm not going to hold it still because it has spoilers written on it.
Fair.
But yeah, I would put that in the back of my, in my background during the podcast.
Oh, I love it. I adore fantasy maps, so I would love to see it.
Yeah, and you've got some good ones on your Instagram.
Thank you. I do. I make maps as like a, it started because I made maps for my own books. And I started kind of sharing them on TikTok and on Instagram, and eventually people were like, hey, will you make mine? And I was like, okay, sure. So I started accepting commissions for them, and I have so much fun. It's sort of one of those things that I did, whereas like I always knew I wanted to write, making fantasy maps was not something I always knew I was going to do. And it sort of just happened, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll do it. Yeah, this is fun.
And for any listeners, your Instagram handle is Author Kate Korsak.
Author Kate Korsak. And then I have a separate one for maps right now, mostly just because I'm trying to draw readers to my author account at the moment. So it was my old username, Writer Kate K, which is the one that kind of got popular on TikTok. And so a lot of people know Writer Kate K as the map person. So if you want maps, if you go there, that's where it's brand new, but that's where I've been putting maps. And then most of my stuff is on Author Kate Korsak.
Okay. And I need to make a note to myself to include both of these in the show notes.
I know it's confusing. It made the Instagram algorithm happy to separate it. So, you know, gotta keep the algorithm happy.
I think this is a rising tides scenario. You know, like we do the podcast and get some more attention to both of our works.
Yeah, so absolutely.
So that's Author Kate Korsak. K-A-T-E-K-O-R-S-A-K. And author Kate K.
Writer Kate K.
Writer Kate K. Yeah. My bad.
You're good.
Okay. And yeah. And you have your own website, right?
I do. KateKorsak.com. Real easy.
I complicated my life with a pen name and indecision and also history. So like my email is at the domain is at thorn.link, and that's a website that I own, but then I also own granthill.media and now I have pedramon.com, and so yours is more direct. That's
good. I tried to keep it that way.
Now Guardian.
Yeah.
That's kind of something that caught my eye.
Yeah.
That you were talking about your upcoming book, Guardian. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us a bit about it? And if it's not a spoiler, why you chose that title?
Yeah. So I started writing it back in 2021 as a NaNoWriMo project. So month of November, you try to write 50,000 words. So that's all it was. I really wasn't taking it too seriously. I knew I wanted to try something different. And my main goal with it was to really focus on like descriptions and character development and world building. Because in my first book, it was, you know, it was fun. It was fast paced. There was a lot of action. But I really wanted to sort of lean into that high fantasy, epic fantasy genre more. I started writing that. I fell in love with it. And after November ended, I kept going with it and finished it, I want to say in spring of 2022. So that's when that came out, or when that was finished. And then my first book came out that year, whatever. So I set it aside for a little bit. Eventually came back to it and was like, all right, it needs help. The plot was all over the place. There were so many plot holes that didn't make sense. So I took it, I rewrote most of it, and got it to a point where I was like, okay, I like this. I like where it's at. But I wasn't really sure what to do after that. So that's when I found my editor. Her name's Samantha Mendel. She is phenomenal. And she and I worked together to do some developmental stuff and get the story sort of to where it needed to be. So it is about an elven soldier named Kyler. Essentially, in this world, there is a kingdom called the Kingdom of Sanner, and it is the only place in the realm that still has access to magic. There was an ancient magic that was taken away in this war between gods 1,000 years ago, and so Sanner is the only one that has magic, and they keep to themselves. But in this time of Kyler looking to promote himself as a soldier, become the general of the armies and that sort of thing, the god of destruction, Orisus, who originally was the reason magic was taken from the realm, attacks Sanner for the first time. And so he and a couple other soldiers are sort of forced into this position of, okay, this has not happened in, like, in our lifetimes. And so it sort of becomes a figuring out what Orisus wants, and then quickly becomes history is not what we thought it was. The rest of the realm isn't what we thought it was. They've been so secluded for so long that they didn't know what else was happening in the world. And a lot of personal stuff for Kyler too. He doesn't realize until later on how personal this attack really was to him. All that to say, I picked Guardian because it was sort of an original part of the story that got a little bit removed-ish. The original name was going to be Guardian of the Dragon Pass. And the idea for that is that in this Kingdom of Sanner, the magic is given through this portal called the Dragon Pass. And that is how these elves receive their magic. Still part of the story. I don't really refer to them as Guardians of the Dragon Pass, except maybe once now in the book. But that's where the name came from. And I mean, that's essentially what these soldiers are. They're protectors of the magic. They're guardians of Sanner. They're guardians of the Dragon Pass. So that's where Guardian came in.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like the Dragon Pass. Like having that in your title would be some pretty clear signaling of
it would be
of the feeling of the book. So how did you decide to shorten it to just Guardian?
I liked the one name title. I thought it was eye-catching. I knew I wanted like really beautiful art on the cover, so I didn't want too much text covering it. And I just liked it. I liked how short it was. I felt like it was really just an impactful, but also still leaving room for questions of like, okay, guardian of what, you know?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And so this is book one in a series?
Yeah, one of two. It'll be a two-book series. So I'm working on the second now.
What's the title for the series?
The series is the Velikor Epic, which is the name of the realm, is Velikor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But you said it a few minutes ago. Velikor is not the country that has the magic?
Sanner is the country that has the magic. Velikor is the realm itself.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you able to tell us with the no spoilers what caused Velikor to retain magic while the rest of the world lost it?
Yeah, so and this is explained pretty thoroughly in the prologue of the book, but essentially there are two gods in this world.
Probably
there
not is... a spoiler if it's in
no,
the prologue.
No, exactly, it's in the prologue, so you're good. There are two gods in the world. There are Adoni of creation and Orisis of destruction. They built Velikor together, everything that Adoni created, Orisis chipped away, like sculpted it. Uh-huh. So everything that Adoni created, Orisis was given the power to destroy. And this is how the world is in balance. And that's sort of the theme. You'll see it on the back of the book. Here, I have it here. It says, the one who destroys cannot create. This is balance. That is how the world works.
It reminds me a little bit of Sanderson's Mistborn.
Yeah.
But it is different because preservation isn't about creation.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely heard that. You're not the first different. Person to mention that similarity.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't mind, I'll talk about my guardian.
Yeah, absolutely.
And why.
Yeah.
So in this one, in Forerunner, in book one, Alavva is pulled from her home in the middle of the night by a unicorn at the door saying, hey, you know, the world has a big, huge problem, and we need to fix it. We need your help. So we're in a hurry. Let's go. Come on, let's go. And that unicorn is named Hronomon. Some people have complained about the name. One of my beta readers said he got a literal headache from trying to pronounce it. But that's how it
just
is.
Just put a pronunciation guide in the front of the book and you're good.
Well, I put one in the back. But I think Hronomon is pretty straightforward. It's just a little awkward.
Yeah, fine.
Like you pronounce the H and then you say Hronomon. Hronomon.
Yeah. It's a fantasy book. The names don't have to make sense.
Yeah. So Hronomon is actually the unicorn, or in my book, excuse me, unicorn is not the proper word. We call them the Nemord. Mm. Calling them unicorns like calling us two legs. It's accurate, but it doesn't do us justice.
Yeah.
So the Hronomon is the Nemord word for Forerunner. Mm. And that's actually his job in there's this construct that protects the world from this evil that rises up every few thousand years, and his job is to be the Forerunner. And he goes and he finds the main character and says, hey, come and help. Well, let me just say that book two is similarly named. There is another unicorn that has a lot of screen time in book two. And that means guardian.
That's cool. So, I like that. That's awesome.
I don't have the series exhaustively planned. It sounds, if you have a two book series, what's the word for that?
Duology. Duology. Yeah.
So you probably have it fairly well planned start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many books my series is going to be. And I know that I don't know, unlike Robert Jordan, who pitched a four book series and wound up dying before his series was finished at 14. Yep. Very long books. Mine will be definitely at least, it can't be two books. It has to be at least three.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I already figured out that it has to be at least four.
Ah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's more. Anyway, so enough about that. Duology. Do you have other series planned or other standalones planned?
There's one that I have worked on, sort of. It was my in-between project after I had finished the first draft of Guardian and put it aside for a bit. And that was just a fun, like, pirate fantasy. I don't know if I'm going to publish that. I love pirates. I've always been obsessed with pirates since I was little. I think they're so cool. And I really love that world. I loved the world building I did and the characters I had for it. I don't know if that one will ever see the light of day. It's sort of a fun project. And I might someday. I just know that right now the market is kind of oversaturated with pirate books and they can be really hard to sell. So it's just sort of my back pocket for now. And then I have another one that I'm slowly world building. I don't know how big of a series it would be. I don't ever see myself writing something more than like 4 books. And even that, it seems super daunting, given that I've only ever done a 2-book series. So yeah. I don't know. But that one, I'm really wanting to be just like epic fantasy, high fantasy. Like, I want it to fit in with like the Way of Kings. So that's my overall goal for that one. I'm slowly world building, slowly building characters, slowly building history. So I've done a lot with it already, and it's still, I feel like it's got so much to go before I'm actually ready to even write that, which is great because I'm still working on book 2 of Guardian. And so I can focus on that and I can write that second book while still having fun and world building just for fun.
With Nightshade Unicorn, like I said, I don't know how many books it's going to be, but I have events planned, and I have like the near future is more planned out in detail than the extended saga. And I don't picture the saga taking years. You know, I picture that everything happening in a period of months. But here I am in book 2, and I'm not done with it yet. In fact, I'm much farther behind than where I want to be. Like, I should have had a manuscript by now.
I know the feeling.
But I recently discovered how to do it quickly, at least for me. And that's for me, it's I've found recent great success in going on long walks and narrating.
Yeah.
And like moving my body helps me keep things flowing. But anyway, so where I am in book 2, I might see myself cutting it in half. Because for where I think I'm going for book 2 might be a lot longer than I intended. Just because I am new at seeing how long things are when they are fleshed out. And there's a big event that is not the end of the series that can't be the end of book 2. And yeah, so at least 4 books, but it could balloon.
Yeah.
And this is a series that I picked up because, so you used a phrase early in the conversation. You said book of your dreams.
Yeah.
So in 2010, and I'm sorry for listeners who have heard this before, in 2010, I was going to do NaNoWriMo, and in October, I woke up and I had a cool dream. I'm like, wow, that's my book for next month. And so I said about it, but of course, I had no idea how to produce that many words that fast. And I was teaching, and it was my first year of teaching and only year to date. But my focus was on teaching.
Yeah.
So I didn't finish it, and I still haven't finished it. And that's, I've named my podcast after it. But that book, I figured out about 2 years ago, like I need to set it aside and pick up something new and just produce it, get something out so that it can exist. And then once I've learned my paces, I can turn back to this one. Anyway, so the new one that I picked up so I could get something out and have something out there in the world, it might be a lot of books. I don't know yet.
I love it. That's so fun. Sometimes we really don't know what we're doing. We are just following the inspiration where it leads.
Yeah. Speaking of, so going into cartography, I see on your Instagram you do mapping with ink. Incarnate. Yes, I have not been in mapping mode for a while, and yes. It shows. Incarnate. It's a pretty cool tool.
It is.
Do you? I don't know what draws you to that tool. What do you love about it? What frustrates you about it?
I use Incarnate mostly because it's what I started with. So I originally found it, I must have been like 15 or 16. And at the time I was working on this little book series that I honestly don't know if I'll ever finish. It's kind of like you said, your first, but like this one was very much I have no clue what I'm doing and mm-hmm. I just want to try something. And so I wrote this book that I was so proud of. I think it was maybe 40,000 words. And that was the most I was like, I can't believe I did this. Like, this is insane. I wrote a book. It's technically, I think 50,000 is where a book is considered a novel. So it's technically a novella. Uh-huh. But I wanted to make a map for it. And so I went online, I started looking and Incarnate popped up. So I started using it. And it was the free version and I used uh-huh. it for years. Like it was for fun. It was for me. And I used the free version. And then eventually when I decided to publish my book, The Curse of Rago, I realized that in order to publish my map in the book, I needed the copyright that came with the pro version. So I was like, all right, uh-huh. sure. Got to make that investment. That's fine. And I mean, it's not expensive
it's
at all.
$25 a year.
Exactly. $25 a year. Expensive. I was like, yeah, sure. So I went ahead and got it. And once I had done that, I was like, okay, well, now I have access to all these other tools. Like, let me see what I can do. Like, I might as well. So that's when I really started, like, taking the time to, like, learn the program, see everything that I could do. I'm very familiar with it. I've used it for so long. That's why I stick with it. And there are others like WonderDraft mm-hmm. That I have and that I've tried and that I would like to be able to, like, get good with. It's just that uh-huh. I'm so familiar with Incarnate. Like, I know it like the back of my hand. So at this point in time, it's kind of like, well, I'll try something else for fun, but I doubt I would ever fully shift over to another program because I know Incarnate so well.
Yeah. 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 I haven't done a ton of mapping. I did just enough to produce the, the map that's in book one here. And book two will be a little bit more fleshed out. I feel bad because book one's map isn't fully fleshed out, you know, and it's, but I guess that'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whatever. Yeah. what else was going to ask you? How does your process go as far as using Incarnate and doing other non-mapping world building and writing the story? Mm. Like what piece or pieces of that process informs what other pieces?
I love this question because I think they're all sort of like intertwined. So usually yeah. when I have an idea for a book, it starts with the characters. And so my world building is always going to be based on my characters. And I say that in the sense of like, I come up with this character. I have this idea for Guardian, for example, I had the idea of Kyler and I wanted a character who was a soldier and an alchemist. I thought that was really cool. I wanted that both sides of him. And so my world building then became, okay, if he's a soldier, then why is he a soldier? What does that like mean for this? Like, who is he a soldier for? How does the military ranking work? All that sort of stuff. And then on the alchemy side, okay, how does that work? How does the magic work? Why does it work that way? And so I build out from there and then I fill in all the other things, but I start with those characters because those are the most important. I want to understand why they are the way that they are, what brought them to that point and how it works. So that's always where I start is with those characters. As I'm building the characters and I'm building sort of the area around them, where they live, what's going on, that's when I'll start working on the map. I have fun with maps. I really like mm-hmm. my maps to be aesthetically pleasing. I want a world that's pretty to look at. And so I'll go and I'll, you know, as I'm making my map, I'm thinking about the world. I'm maybe listening to like a soundtrack that's inspired me or whatever. And as I'm building places, I'm going, okay, there's a mountain range here. What do I want for this? You know, when I'm naming it, like, okay, well, you know, this culture that it's in, am I basing it off a real life culture or, you know, what kind of language is here? And so how are the letters going to work together to, you know, how does it sound, whatever. And so those are the kind of things. And then political boundaries too. So like, if I have got a mountain range that is specifically blocking an area off, well, that's very likely that that's a very fortified area. So like, okay, is there something going on here? Like what's, so that's sort of how that works for me as I'm making the map, as I'm building the characters and the story and the world. It all sort of just goes together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Yeah. And I hear that. I feel maybe like I did things a little bit wrong with Nightshade Unicorn, because like I said, the map isn't fully fleshed out even still, and it's going to be more fleshed out moving forward. But I wrote the book with a concept like this. Book one needs to culminate in this event. Mm-hmm. And so I'm writing my way towards that event. And I didn't have a great outline, and you know, this kind of builds on the concept of plotting versus pantsing or discovery writing. I didn't have a great outline. Some people love it like that. I wrote the beginning, the setup of the story and the beginning of the journey. And then I'm like, now what? And I, you know, I hit a brick wall and I took a day off and I wrote a short story on that day. I didn't really take a day off. You know, I got my words in.
Yeah.
I wrote a short story that day instead. And the next day I was still, it's just like, you know, just kind of write something. Mm-hmm. And so I learned from that. And with book two, I definitely have a better outline, and now I'm taking that outline and I'm like, all right, so this is the scene that I'm going to write next. Let me grab my microphone and go for a walk. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but like there are no political boundaries of any concern in book one. Mm-hmm. And so let me check. I think the name of the countries are on there, but they're not mentioned. Yeah. It's on there. Mm-hmm. Like the main character lives in the country called Eslarna, but that name does not appear anywhere in book one, except mm-hmm. on the map itself.
Yeah.
And in the pronunciation guide in the back.
Yeah.
So, but,
I get that.
That's another thing. There are more political boundaries drawn that will appear in book two. Mm-hmm. But they're just not there.
Yeah.
And in book one, there's a very minor passing character said to come from the what's the name? I forgot the name of the country I made up. Something protectorate, and like you look at the map and the islands are there. Mm-hmm. But there's no political entity identified. And book two will have that. And especially if I split it into book three, then that'll take more play in book three. But mm-hmm. And that's like there is an event that would make a good ending that I had planned for the middle of book two, but it could become the new end. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, like as I sit down and I'm pointing at my map over there that's folded up. I sat down with the big map. It's almost 53 inches across. Or is it bigger? Anyway, it's let's say it's 5 feet wide. Mm-hmm. Or 4'6", something like that. And so I'm drawing places, I'm making up their names. It becomes easier for me to talk about them mm-hmm. in subsequent books. And so now the map making was necessary so that I could envision better what's going on in book one mm-hmm. and then into book two. And it became more important so that I could, you get the picture. Anyway.
I do. And I mean, I'm having fun with that too right now in writing book two, because in book one of Guardian, it is, as I mentioned earlier, the elves have been very separate from the rest of the world for a long time. And so mm-hmm. the political alliances don't really matter to the main characters. They're aware of them and they'll mention them here and there and like, okay, well, you know, why is this happening? But for the most part, their kingdom is pretty self-sufficient. They have some trade with some other places, but it's not like Sanner is self-sufficient and has been for a long time. And so, especially after the events of book one, that becomes no longer the case. And so it sort of turns into like, okay, well, we, I guess, are going to have to figure out how to get along with the rest of the world, where and I mean there's a lot of resentment too, seeing as Sanner, the rest of the realm sees Sanner as like, all right, well, you guys have this ancient magic that you're keeping to yourselves and don't care about the rest of us, so why should we align with you? Like,
so now Guardian is Mistborn meets Wakanda.
I love that. There it is. That's how I should market it from now on.
Yeah.
Mistborn meets Wakanda. Very similar. It's the same idea, though. And so I'm very excited getting into that with book two, because now all of that comes into play. The little things that were mentioned and these cultures that I think are really cool that didn't really get to be mentioned in book one, I now get to dive into a little bit more. So I'm having fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's great. I think we could keep going on, but we're probably at a good stopping point.
Yeah, and, I agree.
We'll kind of wrap up. Mm-hmm. We'll stop the recording. Stay on for a minute afterwards.
You got it.
But for our listeners, check out her books at katekorsak.com. Kate is K-A-T-E. Korsak is K-O-R-S-A-K. That link will be in the show notes, whether it's you're listening in your podcast app or watching on YouTube. And then on Instagram, there's author Kate Korsak and writer Kate K. Or it looks to me like Katik.
That's part of the reason I changed it to author Kate Korsak, because so many people thought my name was Katik or K-Tek. I was like, There was a point I was like, maybe I should just make that my pen name.
Yeah. Yeah. And pen names can be useful, but.
Yeah, exactly.
Korsak is a good last name. I didn't feel like Don Bishop was it really messaged epic fantasy. Yep. So whatever. Anyway, I think that's a wrap, and we'll talk a bit after we hit stop.
Sounds great.
And we'll see everybody next time on the Grindhill Chronicles podcast.